Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF back here in studio with James Coover from the K-State Extension District. Of course, this is presented to you by Green Acres. And James, before we get into nitrogen, I'll let you tell a little bit about the vaccine that you guys are helping distribute.
Yes. And so we're going to actually have a vaccine clinic at our Wildcat Extension offices. And so this is really easy to get into if you haven't got your vaccine yet and you're in the phase one or phase two. We're going to have one on March 24th in Independence at 10 a.m., March 25th at Altamont at 10 a.m., and March 26th in Girard at 10 a.m. And so these vaccine clinics basically just call our offices to get registered. There's also, I think, a place online to get registered. And it's really lenient as to, and no, there are certain phase two, basically farmers, healthcare providers, retail workers, restaurants, but from my understanding, it's pretty lenient as to get it. I mean, I got my vaccine, so.
Well, we're starting to get into phase three as well. So.
Yes. Right now, they're just trying to get shots in the arms for the most part, and it won't be very long before really it's just about anybody. Yeah. So, but if you haven't got your vaccine yet, you know, check out one of these clinics, and the Community Health Center of Southeast Kansas is coming by and administering those. So.
All right. And then, of course, we're talking about something that is found in many things, fertilizers, nature, and all sorts of other things, and that's nitrogen. And you've got a lot of stuff to talk about nitrogen-related this morning.
Yes. And so nitrogen, I just wanted to talk about it because it's very relevant at this time period during the year because we're putting a lot of it on. And so nitrogen is very dynamic, and it's often misunderstood because it is by far the most needed plant nutrient. And it's always changing, and it's very temporary in nature. And so there's no way to store nitrogen in the soil. It's constantly moving in and out of the soil. Right now, we're spreading a lot of it. And so we'll probably spread around 22 to 24 million tons of nitrogen in the U.S., you know, probably in the next couple of months, honestly. And so 60% of a fertilizer, you know, is nitrogen-based. We use a lot of it. Oddly enough, although it fluctuates throughout the year, we use about the same amount of fertilizers as we did in the 80s. That was sort of like the heyday of putting on way too much nitrogen.
Okay.
And so we've kind of put a lot more controls on it in time, actually. And we haven't really, we've kind of reduced our acres, actually, a little bit since the 80s. It's kind of counterintuitive, but really, that's how it worked out. And so right now, we're top dressing our pastures, that's a big thing going on, our wheat fields, and our lawns, like Jesse was talking about, mostly with urea, which is definitely the most common nitrogen fertilizer, and it's the most stable and easy to work with. Urea is a solid, and it's comparatively pretty cheap, too. It's the only commercial organic fertilizer, I think, basically, and by organic, I mean it has a carbon component to it, not organic as in, like, the other kind of organic. So it is still, of course, synthetically made. We also have UAN, which is urea ammonium nitrate. Basically, it's urea mixed with, you know, ammonium nitrate, and that's actually a liquid. And so if you're top dressing your wheat, sometimes that's easier to do, put it through your spray rig and use a dripper bar. And hydrous ammonia is the one that's kind of a trouble to work with because it's a gas. They compress it into a liquid, and you see those carts, basically, they're big tubes being carted around every once in a while. And they got a little sign on them. Anyways,
okay, yeah.
Those are anhydrous, and those will actually be injected into the soil with these knives. And so, you know, it is a caustic gas, so you got to be careful with that stuff. It's got to be done correctly, but it's pure. I mean, it's almost... There are other components, but it's mostly nitrogen. So it's probably the cheapest in the its pure form.
Now, is one of these, you know, you talked about the solid, the liquid, and the gas. Is there one of those that maybe a more reliable fertilizer? Is it just because the one is preferred because, like you said, it's cheaper and it's a solid, so it's the easiest to distribute? Or how, like, you know, if you're deciding what to use, what kind of factors go into that?
I would say... the factors really depends on what equipment you have, honestly. Because once it's in the field, nitrogen is nitrogen, it's nitrogen. No fertilizer is better or works better than any other, because it basically breaks down to the exact same stuff. And so, you know, fertilizer is made, and I kind of talked about those three, but they're actually made in the very similar process.
Okay.
It takes a lot of energy to make nitrogen fertilizer. Phosphorus, potassium, we kind of mine that stuff and process it. Nitrogen, we make. And it's sort of a chemistry lesson, but nitrogen fertilizer is ammonia, or in the ammonia forms. And so, you know, NH3 or NH4, ammonia, ammonium, we get the hydrogen from natural gas, and natural gas is CH4. The nitrogen comes from the atmosphere because it's 80% nitrogen, but it's a bonded pair. So nitrogen attached to a nitrogen, and it's very stable. So the only way we can get those nitrogen onto those oxygens or hydrogens is at very high temperatures and pressure, usually to break those bonds up using the Howard-Bosch process. It forces the nitrogen apart, it attaches onto the hydrogen, and we add some CO2 to get urea, we add some oxygen to get nitrates. It's a very energy intensive process, is what I'm trying to say. So currently our nitrogen fertilizer requires natural gas. It's the easiest way to make it. However, that is not the only way. You can actually use a lot of electricity, basically electrohydrolysis, and they're actually talking about that, you know, using extra wind energy, for instance, and doing this stuff. But it's very energy expensive either way you do it. So
yeah, you kind of really have to know your periodic table of elements there.
To do the chemistry part of it.
Yeah, it takes me back to when I took high school chemistry, talking about all those different, the hydrogen and the nitrogen and natural gas and all that. So now, how does you talk about it's, you know, nitrogen fertilizer with all that, but how does nature make nitrogen?
I would say magic, mostly.
Okay,
all right.
Hey, sometimes, science is magic. That's what people say.
So really, most nitrogen in nature comes from bacteria. And it has, like, somehow bacteria can create nitrogen compounds in a way that humans can't. And then they do this in an anaerobic environment. Basically, there can't be any oxygen, otherwise the process fails. But it can make nitrogen compounds without all the heat and the pressure, by using usually it's a symbiotic process between plants and bacteria, because it does actually require a lot of energy to create this nitrogen, even in the bacterial form. But besides that, the only other way that nature does it is by lightning.
Interesting.
Oddly enough. And so every time a lightning strikes, it actually makes a couple of pounds of nitrogen. And it's actually the exact same way that we create it synthetically using the Howard-Bosch process.
Okay.
And so the lightning strikes, it splits apart the water molecules to hydrogen and oxygen. It combines it with the nitrogen in the air. And so it makes ammonia. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know, I was actually thinking about that. Last night, there was a lightning strike literally right outside my bedroom door. And so, you know.
Lightning does a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you know, when it strikes sand, you get that kind of like glass look. And yeah, so, I mean, I guess there is a lot of energy in lightning itself. And you kind of hear that too with the thunder releasing
energy. Tens of thousands of volts.
Yeah.
You know, the amperage is not very high, but it's a lot of volts. And that's actually the kind of the same way why it takes so much energy to make it with electricity too. So, you know, but once we get the fertilizer, into the field, you know, that's however you do it organically, or using synthetic chemicals, it's kind of all breaks down to the exact same stuff. Ammonia, nitrates, and that. Hopefully plants, you know, they will uptake that and they will turn it into proteins. And so that's the very basis of proteins is nitrogen. Even in our bodies, we got a lot of nitrogen. The first is, though, usually with synthetic fertilizers, we're creating ammonia. And so that ammonia needs to convert into nitrates. And this is a biological process. It requires microbes. It requires oxygen. And the soil needs to be about 50, 55 degrees at least for any decent amount of microbes to make that work, because it is a microbial process. However, the conversion back from nitrate to the ammonia form, or for the gas form, sorry, nothing, of N2, basically the air, the nitrogen that we breathe, that's actually also a biological transition, and that's an anaerobic. And so the conversion from fertilizer to a plant form of nitrogen is requires oxygen and microbes. The conversion from the plant form into the atmospheric nitrogen, which can't be used, is also biology. It's also microbes, but it's anaerobic. So basically, whenever we have a spring like this one, or most springs here in Southeast Kansas, where it gets wet and then dry, then wet, then dry, the oxygen is going in and out of the soil. It's becoming anaerobic and aerobic, anaerobic and aerobic. That takes all the nitrogen out of the soil and converts it into atmospheric stuff. So we lose it. Sometimes we can lose 30 to 40% of the nitrogen we put on the field gets lost to the atmosphere. And that's not a very good conversion rate. I mean, that's a lot of nitrogen loss. But it really kind of depends. If we have a year like we did last year where it was just constantly wet and the soil never dried out, that's actually helped save nitrogen. It's kind of weird to think that a wet year can keep nitrogen, but it does happen. And so the other path of nitrogen loss is specifically with urea, and that's with volatilization. This is not a microbial process, it's a chemical process. It's basically where urea sits on the soil surface, it combines with the urease, and then it just volatilizes off into the atmosphere. Sometimes I get questions about this one, like how bad is it? Don't worry too much about it this time of year. It's too cold to really worry too much. And we're getting rain all the time, and so it's going to wash in. I wouldn't worry about putting it on your pasture, even if it's, if you got a dry point to put on your pasture, just go ahead and do it. You'll be fine, probably. And so, besides that, urea, the other question I get is how much rain does it take to dissolve into the soil? Not very much. A quarter of an inch will be plenty. Spreading it on wet soil and then having it rain, it can wash off, of course. And so, you know, there's a little bit of timing there with urea, but it doesn't take much to get it in there. So
when people are looking at fertilizing, whatever it may be with nitrogen, what kind of, you know, what preparation do they need to make as far as, you know, because you talk about setting for 3 or 4 days at the current tips is not really a problem. But, you know, think about, you know, if it's warmer outside and you want to look that maybe rain is coming. So what kind of like steps do you need to do if you're going to be using nitrogen fertilizer?
Yes. And so that brings up a good point, is that a soil test is always a good idea. A nitrogen soil test, of course, is a little more difficult because it's a profile test. If you want to do that before your corn, I would do that very soon because timing is short. But, you know, those nitrogen tests, of course, it kind of depends on what crop you're trying to grow. The other thing is just basically, it's all about timing of weather, honestly. That's with everything with farming. It's all about timing of weather, like whether you're going to get it on or not. If the field's going to hold you, really, is the big thing. And so right now, there's a lot of urea going on in our pastures, and now is the season for that. So, and basically, there's probably a lot of anhydrous going in for our corn crops, and we got to get the soil just the right moisture conditions for your anhydrous to work right. And you know, the farmers, they kind of do their own thing. So,
yeah, I mean, years of doing it, kind of, you start to figure out the little tricks and doing stuff yourself.
Yes.
So, like this time of the year, because you talk about the soil needing to be about 50 to 55 degrees before the microbes get to work. So, what are we looking at? Because coming out of winter, because I don't know much about soil temperatures. So, Maybe someone like me that you know, isn't that familiar with this stuff, but it finds it interesting and maybe wants to get into using some of this. So what are we seeing right now for temperatures in the soil?
So there's a fantastic place to look for that.
Okay.
Kansas Mesonet is a website by K-State Extension, and we've got stations all over the state to kind of look at soil temperatures. And we got one in the Parsons Station, which I use the most. Right now, the soil temperatures are a little bit above 40 degrees. And so they're a lot more stable than our air temperatures. It's basically like an average of our air temperatures. It'll probably cool down a little bit with this rain, but then they're going to heat back up. I think we're going to get to 50 degrees, almost corn planting season, okay, Much earlier than usual this year, even with that huge freeze that we had. I think we're going to get pretty warm pretty fast. And so, you know, that time frame, spring is coming up quick, basically. And the wheat, I mean, it's already just exploding. And as for putting your fertilizer on your wheat, urea on the wheat, I would do this. You can really do this anytime before tillering or before jointing. Sorry. As soon as it starts to joint, that's when the point when wheat really starts to take that nitrogen up. And it kind of hurts a little bit to drive on it. So you still got some time. If you never were able to put nitrogen on your wheat or your pastures, you still got time, but I don't know. Hopefully we'll dry out soon. So
yeah, because it's we're going to see some rain over the course of the next couple of days. So yeah. It is wet. Maybe even some snow, apparently, too.
I know. Yeah.
Which
but,
is
you know,
always weird to think
it'll
about.
It'll be short-lived. But yeah.
All right. So. We talked a lot about nitrogen this morning. Anything else you kind of want to hit on before we wrap up here?
Yes. And so we've got some programs coming up. You know, springtime means fun extension programs. Winter is usually the more technical, functional extension programs. We've got some fun ones coming up soon. So on April the 8th, we've got a sheep and goat workshop, and that will be at the Southeast Center in Parsons from 5 to 9 p.m. And so April the 8th, on April the 29th, we have a nuisance wildlife control. And so our wildlife specialist from K-State will be coming down. Basically, we'll be talking about what happens a lot in the spring as we get calls about skunks in your yard or armadillos or all the little critters that come out of their holes and they want to invade your house. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that on April 29th at 6 p.m. at the Parsons Research Center. And on May the 4th and May the 5th, in Independence and Humboldt, we're going to have a pond meeting. And so basically with this pond meeting, we're going to talk about aquatic weeds, about getting your pond ready for fishing and putting, you know, stocking rates for fish and proper construction of your pond. And so that will be on Independence on May the 4th and Humboldt on May the 5th from 5:30 to 7:30.
All right. Yeah, those do sound like some interesting ones. I mean, I know people, once the weather warms up, those animals start to start venturing around. They can be that nuisance. So, all right. Well, James, appreciate you coming in this morning. It's been an interesting talk. I learned a lot about nitrogen this morning.
Yeah, a little chemistry there.
Yeah, there you go. Had to take me back to my high school chemistry class. So, all right. Well, again, thanks to Green Acres for providing this. And you heard a lot from Jesse in the 7 o'clock hour about different horticulture, growing plants, and the grasses. And then James took you to class with some nitrogen there. So, all right. Well, we will take a break, of course, coming up in the 8:30 hour. We've got some Fox News, and we've got some more programming as well here on the Mighty 690.